Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What should you do when you feel your world caving in on you? Vicki Courtney is a national speaker to women of all ages. She's the best-selling author of numerous books and Bible studies, including Rest Assured, Move On, Ever After, Five Conversations You Must Have with Your Daughter, Five Conversations You Must Have with Your Son. She's a two-time ECPA, Evangelical Christian Publishers Association, Christian Book Award winner. She's appeared on CNN and Fox News as a youth culture commentator. Vicki is with us today because her life has been changed and shaped by the love of God through Jesus Christ. And that's why we have the Good Life Radio Show. And we always pause at the beginning of our show just to remind you about the love of God for you, dear friend. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through right now as a parent, as a mother or father, at work, whatever it might be, the challenge may be so daunting. God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ calls you to himself. Would you open your heart to Jesus? Come to him just as you are and let him work, even as he's done so graciously in Vicki Courtney's life. The Lord can work in your life as well. Vicki and her husband Keith reside in Austin, Texas. Their three grown children are married. They have two grandsons and are blessed to have all their children, living nearby in Austin and Houston. Vicki, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a place called Irving, Texas, and it is a suburb right outside of Dallas, Texas. And that's about 200 miles from where I am today in Austin, Texas.
What was it like growing up there in Irving?
Well, it's I'm kind of an old timer here now, so I guess we moved to Irving from the Dallas area, another suburb, when I was 5 years old, and it was back in 1968. And so, really, throughout my formative childhood years, I mean, it could best be described as living in the Bible Belt. Most all of my friends grew up going to church, and it was just, you know, what you did if you lived in the Bible Belt of Texas. And I was among, you know, a handful of, you know, families, it seemed like at the time at least, that did not go to church. So I wasn't raised, that wasn't part of my upbringing. And so I was exposed to it through friends who would invite me to maybe go to vacation Bible school with them or, you know, church events here and there. But other than that, it was very limited exposure to Christianity, other than what I picked up, just bits and pieces along the way in my friends' lives.
Who influenced you most, Vicki, in your growing up?
Without a doubt, it would be my grandparents on my mother's side. And they actually lived in Austin, so as I mentioned, a couple hundred miles away from where I grew up in Irving. And we would see them about once a year. And it was very clear to me from the time that I was a young child that they loved God. And they didn't hesitate to tell me that when I would visit them, even as a small child. And I was the oldest of six grandchildren. And My grandfather would very, very boldly say, you know, he called all the girls in the family sis. Maybe that's just a Texas thing. And, you know, he would tell me through my growing up years, sis, I am praying for the day, your grandmother and I are praying for the day that you accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. And, you know, as I got older and entered the high school years, I thought that was just a little strange. You know, it's not something you hear every day. And I certainly didn't hear it in my own home. But yet I look back on it now. They're no longer here. They are with the Lord today. And there's no doubt that they were a huge influence in my life. And I love being able to share that because I want grandparents to know just how important that role is for, you know, a child. Oftentimes if they're not seeing, you know, anything that points to Jesus Christ in their growing up years, they look to others near and dear to them. And so I can speak firsthand to what an impression it made in my life.
I read somewhere that you were a self-professed atheist up in your, I think it was in your high school years. So even in the midst of that with grandma and grandpa, Vicki, how did you become a Christian?
Well, I headed out the, you know, the door in my senior year when I graduated to go to the University of Texas in Austin, just a, you know, little old university here with about 55,000 students. I say that sarcastically, but I ended up right smack dab in Austin, Texas, where my grandparents were located. And it was actually, I consider myself more of an agnostic. I think an atheist is someone, you know, who says absolutely there is no God, whereas an agnostic is like, well, maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he hasn't had, you know, much influence on my life. And you kind of leave it at that, just more of an indifference, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up, you know, at the University of Texas in 1982. And my grandparents seized upon that moment and began in inviting me relentlessly over to their home for a good meal. Every week or two I would go because it sure would beat the dorm food. And they would, you know, feed me a good square meal and almost always bring up their wonderful Baptist church that they attend and talk about the college department. And I would very graciously decline their invitation and, you know, tell them, you know, well, thanks, but no thanks. That's just really, I'm not into God or any of that, but I appreciate the invitation. And this went on, you know, for several years. And my junior year in college, I actually had, it was a guy that I was going out with kind of on again, off again, and he took me out for coffee one night and shared his story, if you will, saying that he had recently rededicated his life to Christ and told me that he had been very involved in church and a strong believer in his high school years, but had strayed away from his faith in his college years when we were dating. And he had recently come back to that and wanted to share more with me about that. And I remember at the time thinking, oh, great, you know, he's gone off the deep end. You know, I get scratched this guy off my list, right? And he went on to invite me to the church he was attending, and it just so happened that it was my grandparents' church. And so I think out of more just I wanted to be courteous and, you know, I appreciated him sharing his story. I told him that I would go with him on a Sunday, and I thought, you know, too, I could also, in the process, let my grandparents know. And I knew it would mean a great deal to them. They had been inviting me for, you know, several years at this point. And so I called and told them that I was going to be visiting their church one Sunday morning. And they were, of course, just absolutely thrilled. And that Sunday rolled around, and the guy who had invited me ended up having to go out of town back home for an emergency and called me the morning of and said he wouldn't be able to make it. And so on that morning, I called my grandparents and said, you know I told you I was going, but some things have come up. My friend I was going to go with, he can't go. And my grandfather said, sis, you get ready for church, be standing out in front of your apartment in 15 minutes, and we'll pick you up. And then he hung up the phone. So I clearly did not have much of a choice, and I did exactly as I was told by my grandfather, and they took me to church, actually Sunday school first, and that was a terrifying experience for me in the sense of, you know, girls, college girls aren't accustomed to doing a whole lot by themselves, and as I'd mentioned, I didn't grow up in church, so this was all very new to me, and here I was being picked up by my grandparents, driven to Sunday school, and dropped off like I was going to kindergarten or something. And so they did drop me off there, and I went, and then I sat with them during church, and I didn't have this sort of epiphany sort of moment that particular Sunday, but they talked on in my Sunday school group about an upcoming event at a outside of Austin. There's a lot of pretty lakes, and it was just one of those college retreats, and the friend of mine who had invited me called to find out if I'd actually gone, and I shared I had gone to church without him, and he mentioned that same retreat, and so I ended up going to that retreat a few weeks later.
Well, I want you to tell us what happened at that retreat. I'm sensing that something significant happened there. Maybe our listener right now can think, oh, well, maybe the Lord did a work in her heart. Well, we'll hear about that when we come back from our break. You're listening to Vicki Courtney sharing her story. Hey, from the Sunday school there at Baptist Church, now she's talking about camp. Well, what happened at the camp? I think we're going to be surprised not only what happened, who she met, and who she met. Maybe more than just one person was met at that camp. But I want to let her tell the story. She's an amazing communicator, a fantastic award-winning writer. She has a love for God that just emanates from her. And God is using her all over the country to speak to women, to touch their hearts. Vicki Courtney. VickiCourtney.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, it indeed is always interesting when you hear the story. Well, you go to hear a speaker. Now, you see their poster, you read their books, and it is just mesmerizing when you have the opportunity to see them in person, certainly to hear them speak. But where did it all start? How did they begin to learn about God, to speak about God? You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm making reference to Vicki Courtney. She's with us today. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, my co-host. Perhaps you caught the tail end of the last segment, and as you're tuning in right now, you say, hey, I want to get this program in its entirety. You can certainly do that. Go to Vicki CourtneyCourtney.com to find out more about Vicki and to get this show and other resources, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Vicki, tell us what happened near the lake, a significant lake. Tell us.
Yes. So I, you know, I was invited to attend this, and I really, you know, honestly thought, I just don't think this is my thing. You know, what's going to happen? You know, I didn't grow up going to church, so I had no idea what to expect. I'd never been to church camp, much less camp in general. And it was a weekend retreat, and the guy who I had dated on again, off again, invited me to go, and so I signed up, and I did try to chicken out the day of, but I went ahead, and I talked to a girlfriend of mine into going with me, and we went ahead and went. And that night on Friday evening, I don't remember much of what the guest speaker said. So that says a lot for what I do, right? And so I do remember, however, that the worship leader at the very end, after the speaker had finished, he's sitting on a stool, strumming a guitar, and he began to share just a little bit about his story. And he shared about how he had chased after everything the world promised would make you happy in your, you know, younger years. And he's probably speaking about the years that I was right there, the college years, and how nothing he pursued would fill that empty place in his heart. And that, you know, it was a lot of things that left him feeling just a heavy burden of guilt and even shame. He even shared some of those things. I thought, oh, you know, this is my story. He's unpacking my story. I had that same story, and I had not really come to terms with the emptiness. I still was just thinking, well, maybe, you know, the key to happiness is you just find something else to fill that gap. And yet, as he shared his story and how a friend of his sat down with him and cared enough to share about the love of Jesus Christ, and how that was the day and the moment that his life changed forever, I knew that God was speaking to me personally. And my heart, I say my icy heart, because in many ways I was resistant to the Christian faith, but it began to melt, you know, and on that evening of hearing his story. And then he began to sing. And he said, you know, prior to starting to sing a popular chorus, he invited anyone to come forward that had never made that decision before, but felt like God was drawing them in that moment. And I wish I could tell you that I did that, but I honestly did not know, like, what happened. You know, when we forget that, I think so often, Danny, when, you know, we present the gospel, we forget that not everyone knows our lingo. Not everyone really knows what an invitation is. And so I like to be sensitive to that fact that, you know, I was that girl who had no idea. You know, I hadn't heard any of this before. And I was hesitant to walk forward, but I did say a little prayer to myself, you know, something to the effect of, God, you know, I don't know if you're there, but I know that, you know, I've tried to be my own God all these years, and I've kind of made a mess of it, and I want what this guy's talking about, something as simple as that. I want that. I want what it seems these other people have, who seem like they have something that I don't. Something that would permanently fill that gap, that hole in my heart. And it was probably right about on the, I joke and say, the 11th stanza of I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. But, you know, mind you, this was a Baptist event, and they are famous for, you know, they'll keep on singing until everyone in the room is saved. So I think that's what was going on there. And I did. I bowed my head just silently and said a little prayer. And it was the next morning, I had the guy that had invited me to the event, his roommate. We were standing right there on the, you know, on the lakeside, and he said, "So I have a question. Are you a Christian?" And I said, "You know, I think I am now." I said, I said a prayer last night. I'm not sure really what I'm supposed to do now." And so he cared enough to take some time and talked about the importance of discipleship, that I needed to find a local Bible-believing church, maybe get involved in a Bible study, said that he would help me figure out a next step, and And I remember at the time thinking, wow, you know, this is one impressive guy. And then after that, this is way back, we're talking 1985. And so we didn't have smartphones. And so we had, some of your listeners that they're on the younger end, this thing called a payphone. They may have to Google it. And so, if you're my age, you'll know what I'm talking about. And I stood in line at a payphone with a quarter in hand. And the first, phone call I made to share my good news, and that's really what it is. We call it the good news, and it is the good news when someone comes to Christ. But I called my grandparents, and I will never forget, here I am so many years later, their excitement over the phone. They both got on the phone, and I told them that their prayers had been answered, and I had prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior the night before, and my grandmother was choking back tears, and I actually took to that retreat, and on the packing list, they sent out a packing list, and it said to bring a Bible. And the only Bible I had with me there at college was a children's Bible that my grandparents had given me at the age of 10. And it had sort of the animated pictures, in the front of Jesus and such. And so I guarantee you I was probably the only 21-year-old there with a children's Bible. But it was just so sentimental to have that with me and then to make that phone call and tell my grandparents that they knew I was carrying that Bible with me. And my grandmother, right before we hung up, said, "Well, honey, when you get home, we're going to buy you a big girl Bible." And so I remember, just laughing at that. And then just as if it wasn't wonderful enough that I met the Lord at that event, that young man that took the time to explain to me the importance of discipleship, I ended up marrying. Mm-hmm. About a year and a half later, and we just celebrated our 30-year anniversary. And so when I get to share my story on the road, I share that, at that event, the highlight wasn't meeting my husband. It was meeting my one true prince, but I also got to meet my Prince Charming, on that same day. And so that's really where it all began for me at the age of 21, and my life did a 180. Degree turn, and I've never, ever looked back.
Vicki, you started your ministry in 1998. What were the circumstances that caused you to launch such a special event there for college women?
Sure. As I mentioned, I got married. We had our kids, pretty early on, and I continued to pray. I was just so, God completely changed my life in 1985. And I would pray and tell him, I want to be a part of your kingdom harvest. I want to speak to these college women like myself who have chased after everything or in the process of chasing after everything the culture tells them will make them happy. And not just the ones who didn't know Jesus like me, but the ones who do, and still are left chasing after, whether they're caught up in, defining their worth by their appearance, or body image issues, or all the things that I struggled with were still, I wasn't that far past it. And yet I knew that the power of Jesus Christ in your life can change all that. And so I wanted to be a part of that same change in my own life and began to pray and really offer myself. That's how it started. I offered myself to God and said, if you can ever use me in the lives of college women, I don't even know where to start, Lord, but I pray, that I would answer that call. And it was right around 1997, 1998. I had been traveling and sharing my testimony with a women's conference ministry at that time. And I remember at the time thinking, we should go younger than this, because to me, you get to these women's conferences and they're crying on your shoulder at the end and they're telling you about all the guilt and the shame that they have over it. Usually would go, you could trace it back to mistakes they made in their early years, high school and college. And I even made a comment to someone at one of these events and said, we start going back, maybe get them younger. It would be more preventative. And the mentor that I said that to is a woman who had mentored me in my early years as a believer, said, well, maybe God's calling you to do that. And I kept thinking, somebody else would come along and do that. And I began to pray about that, and I shared that with my husband, and we both laughed about it because at one point he even said, well, how many college women do you know? And I said, well, two. And they babysat my children at the time. And he said, so you want to start an event for college women, but you know two college women? I said, yeah, you know, I don't know what to make of it. But he was on board and knew that there was something there, that it was beyond, you know, a desire of my heart. It was something that God was actually leading me to do. And so the first event was in 1998, and over 500 college women came from, I believe it was over 28 different campuses across the state of Texas, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Louisiana. I mean, at that time, there really wasn't anything like it. There was, you know, if you wanted to go to an event as a college student, it would typically co-ed. You know, you weren't breaking out into gender-specific sort of events, and yet it was much needed because college women were facing so many unique challenges with the culture's influence. And so that one event led to another event that drew 1,000 and women the next year, and then it just kind of grew from there. And eventually we began doing events to high school girls, middle school girls, and I since have transitioned back to doing events for adult women now that my children are grown, and I'm really more out of touch with youth culture issues today. That's really how it all got started for me, was my life was changed as a college student, and then I was able had the tremendous privilege, God gave me the tremendous privilege of then going back and ministering to college women who, much like myself, had bought the culture's lies. And I'm just so grateful that he would allow me to be any part of his kingdom purposes at all.
I'm intrigued by your book titles. And when Keith said, hey, you only know two college students, well, within a rather short period of time, you're speaking in front of 500 and the next 1,000. And I can just see, you know, Suzanne, can you just imagine the kind of momentum that grew at that time?
Well, I wish you could see me, because my head is just nodding up and down and up and down. This is just wonderful, Vicki.
Well, here's the thing. When we come back, Vicki, one of your books, Five Conversations You Must Have with Your Daughter, and then I don't know which one came first, but in the five conversations you must have with your son. So striking. I'm wondering if you can just maybe give us a little bit, maybe one from each, a nugget for a mother or today that has a son or daughter. As you've shared the wisdom that God has given to you with so many women, and I also think that as you speak, there's a sense that there's a certain level of transparency that you convey, and it's no wonder that women of all ages find hearing you like taking a drink of fresh water on the hottest day of the year. Vicki Courtney is with us today. You can find out more about Vicki, her books, her speaking engagements, her story at VickiCourtney.com. Hey, the reason why we spend our time like this with you, and by the way, I'm so grateful that you're with us, dear friend. Thank you for joining us today, is to speak about matters of the heart and matters that matter. You know, the issues that we go through in life. And today, women. A dear woman speaking to women. Vicki Courtney will share more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
I wonder what a mother would say. I wonder what a mother should say in terms of a conversation they've got to have with their daughter or their son. Well, we don't have to go very far. Vicki Courtney has written about that in her books, Five Conversations You Must Have with Your Daughter, Five Conversations You Must Have with Your Son. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer and Vicki Courtney. You can find out more about Vicki, her ministry, her extensive ministry. You know, her speaking schedule takes her to Hawaii, Ohio, North Carolina, Georgia, and so many other places. You find out more about her at VickiCourtney.com. And this program, you can get it for free at TheGoodLifeHawaii.com. Give us something, Vicki. I'm eager to hear. What would be one of those conversations one must have with a son and daughter?
Sure. Well, they vary a little bit, but, you know, first of all, I would preface it to say that each of these conversations, you know, the whole goal is that it would be the beginning of a conversation and it would be ongoing in nature. And so it's not just a one-time sit down, you know, take your daughter out for dessert and say, hey, by the way, I've got five things I want to talk to you about. I mean, this is starting when they're fairly young, some of these, you know, all the way until you launch them from the nest. And so I give you an example of, well, conversation number one in five conversations you must have with your daughter is you are more than the sum of your parts. And so, again, you know, this is something that it comes from my passion of much as I shared the messages that I bought into the culture's lies that your worth is defined according to what you look like or maybe your talents and achievements, or maybe even the opinions of others and what they think of you. I encourage mothers to begin a conversation with their daughters that dispels that lie and lets their daughters know that they're more than the sum of their parts, that God views them differently, that their worth is found in Jesus Christ, and that is their identity, and to see themselves through God's eyes rather than through the eyes of the culture. And so that would be an example of a conversation that I encourage mothers to have with their daughters and a critical conversation at that. And then as far as with sons, let's see, probably one of my favorite conversations in that book would be conversation number two, and it's what you don't learn to conquer may become your master. And in that particular conversation, and each conversation has about 3 to 4 chapters that support it, and so I, of course, have a chapter that talks about the dangers of pornography. I have a chapter that talks about any temptation, really, that could gain a stronghold in their lives. And I share some just fun facts with moms. And I'm always pleasantly surprised. And I know I was shocked when I began doing research for this particular conversation in the book to find out about, you know, how the boy brain and the girl brain develops at a different pace and in a different way. And our boys tend to, it's a little bit later in life before they connect consequences with, you know, some of the decisions, the impulsive decisions that they make. The frontal lobe is not fully developed, and that's where usually it takes place, or they begin to think this through. So if they're going to jump off a roof into a pile of leaves, like I remember my brother doing when he was about 12, they don't always connect the dots and go, wow, if I do this, I may end up in the ER. But that's true also for a lot of the things that our boys are up against temptation-wise. And, in helping mothers understand, the boy brain's a little bit different. So how can we reach our sons and make sure that our conversations are it's getting through to them, and maybe even give them some tools to stop and pause for a minute and think this through. And so that's one conversation, that I share in the Five Conversations with Sons book.
Vicki, I know there'll be some variety, but for our listeners, what age bracket are you looking at to start these conversations and to have these books? Because I certainly am hearing where it's just the beginning of many ongoing conversations, but what would be a starting age?
I really think for the most part, and some of these conversations, like the one I shared that mothers should have with their daughters regarding body image and such, and the culture's influence on, how they should look, their appearance, that can begin. I've had mothers tell me that their daughters in kindergarten and first grade are teased if they're just a little heavier than some of the other girls, or their clothes are made fun of. And so, some of these conversations need to begin sooner rather than later, whereas some of the conversations have to do with saving sex for marriage and such. And, it used to be you could hold off until fourth or fifth grade to begin to tackle that. And yet I'm finding and I'm hearing back from more and more moms are saying with, easy access to smartphones and so many kids now carrying them and having, the web at their fingertips, they're having to begin some of these conversations as early as, 7 or 8 years old. And now, in fact, the average age of, first time a child is exposed to pornography is now between 8 and 11 years old, which is frightening. But, so some of these conversations we need to begin when they're young, but be careful not to rob them of their innocence, but let them know, that God has standards in place, and you're going to hear some things out there, and your friends may even talk about some of these things. But, it's really just to give the mom a comfort level, too, that we're called to do this. We're called to be good stewards with our children, and we shouldn't be afraid to have these conversations. And even though it's awkward, especially maybe with our sons and talking about some of these things, to just kind of break the ice and start talking about these things and letting them know that we're going to be talking about these things on a regular basis.
Someone today might be, Vicki, listening, and as they're hearing it, it makes so much sense. There's just one thing. They wish they heard it earlier. Even just listening to, a little tinge of what we're discussing right now. Because as they're hearing it, maybe a daughter has already her image, maybe she's in her mid-teens, somewhere around there, but her image is already unlike what we would hope for, or what you would hope for as you have this ideal conversation at a certain time. And so another mother may be feeling like, I found pornography, my son was already been looking at pornography, and I don't know how far along it's gone. What would you say to give hope to someone where it's already the middle of the game?
That's a great question, Danny, and I get asked that all the time. I tell moms just to be honest in regard to that as well, and maybe take, said child out for dessert or coffee or whatever, or whenever you can have, a few moments alone with them, and not be afraid to say, some of them email me when they're reading my book and they say that, that my child is 15 or 16. I feel like I picked this book up too late. And I always, tell them, be honest and say, hey, I'm reading this book and I'm going to share some of these things. Maybe it's, it'll come across as being annoying to you at this point. But, first I want to start by apologizing and letting you know that I probably should have been having these conversations with you sooner, but you know, someday you'll understand as a parent, if you have children, that it's awkward and we don't know what to say. And, you know, sometimes we're a lot like you kids. You know, we're worried what you're going to think of us. And we want you to like us, right? But this is my responsibility. And there's just some things that I need for you to know that I know God wants me to pass along to you before you leave and you go out into the great big world. And so, you know, honesty is always the best policy. And if they feel like that they're coming into it a little bit late in the game, there's absolutely nothing wrong with being honest and transparent and letting your child know that. Because even if the conversation is a bit awkward the first time you begin talking about some of these things, I can't imagine that that child wouldn't walk away feeling very loved and cared for, that you, you know, braved it and sat down and cared enough to have these conversations with them. But I'd encourage that parent to do just that.
Vicki, I appreciate your encouraging moms to also read the conversations with their son. But I'm curious, would you encourage dads to read these books?
Absolutely. And I get asked that question. You know, we live in a day where we have a lot of single parents and they're doing the best job they possibly can. And I admire them so much, especially if they're the spiritual leader in the home and carrying that load as well. And I love getting, you know, email correspondence with dads who say, you know, I know you wrote this to moms and conversations to have with their daughters, and yet I'm reading it because I'm the, you know, primary spiritual influencer in my daughter's lives, and they share maybe some conversations they've had. And that's just so exciting to me to know that dads, you know, even though it may be written to a mom, they're willing to pick that up and read the book. And same thing, you know, with dads and sons. I've had moms say that they are reading it together. One of the things I've had, you know, moms share that their husbands have opened up and shared with their sons how maybe pornography was a temptation with them and how easily you can get drawn in and how it can wreak havoc, you know, on your marriage. And so a lot of honest conversations that have happened when you can get both parents involved in having those conversations. And I would say, too, I'm kind of cherry picking that one conversation that you have with sons because it's so prevalent. I get probably asked more about that by moms, than anything else, but there are a lot of other conversations in the book as well that pertain to some other things.
Sure. Thank you.
Well, as we listen to Vicki, I want you to go to VickiCourtney.com. You can see where she's speaking on her website already. Hawaii, Ohio, North Carolina, Georgia. And her books. Oh, she's got many books, many study guides that go along with those books. The conversation with our children. Oh, she knows. And Suzanne knows very well. I feel it. Sometimes it's just that awkward feeling, you know, because maybe you feel the child is going to laugh or it's just so weird. But in the midst of that, and I say this as we go into our break, I think Vicki would say, just have the conversation, however odd or strange, because it has to happen. We got to break the ice. We've got to break the ice. VickiCourtney.com. When we come back from our break, rest assured, this book is a recovery plan for weary souls. My friend, have you ever felt tired? Have you ever moved along in life and it came to a point where you just didn't feel like you had enough to go on? And compounding that odd feeling that is so ever so real, you see other people that seem to have an extra dose of energy. Well, how does this relate to your spiritual life? How does it relate to your spiritual life, relate to your life as a whole? Well, Vicki Courtney has written about that, and she'll share with us heart to heart when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me,
I lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Best-selling author Dana Gresh writes this about Vicki Courtney's book, Rest Assured. She writes, how my soul needed this book. Vicki falls on her own sword with transparency and humility, opening your eyes to what your soul is thirsty for, even providing the rest stops. The rest stops to drink of it. Rest assured. That's the title of the book, A Recovery Plan for Weary Souls. Vicki Courtney, you can find it at VickiCourtney.com. and Amazon.com. Vicki, you write about redeeming rest. What's the difference between time for God and time for solitude?
Sure. I think, you know, time for God, we're all pretty well versed on this whole idea of diving into God's Word and having quiet times. We've heard it labeled as that. And you know, spending time with God in His Word. But I think we've lost the art of solitude and somehow equated solitude with maybe even being ineffective because you're not, you know, there's not action involved. And, you know, we're a culture that thrives off busyness and booked calendars and going just at a breakneck pace and so that's one of the things that I've had to go back and relearn is this idea of solitude. And, of course, there's only so much solitude you can have when you have multiple children in the home. It's loud and chaotic, and yet it's still important to grab those moments where we can be alone with the Lord. And it's not necessarily even, you know, opening up your Bible. It's just being still before Him and, you know, listening, tuning in to what He may be wanting you to do in regard to your purpose in life or maybe something that you're going through and, you know, just to take pause, catch your breath, if you will. And I don't think it comes naturally for us in today's culture. It's something that we have to maybe commit to learn or for some of us relearn if we ever had it in the first place.
What were some signs for you when you knew you were going over the edge, so to speak, beginning to feel frayed, not afraid, but just frayed, you know, just spread out so much? For you, what were they? And perhaps someone could relate with some of the feelings that you've had.
Well, you know, one of them, and I think a lot of us feel this way, is you feel that constant sense of urgency, no matter what. And so wherever you go, you know, you stop and have a conversation with someone at church, or, you know, you go out with a friend, and I would find myself looking, you know, at the clock on my phone thinking, oh, I've got a book deadline at home. I've got a, you know, an interview. I've got an event I need to get ready for. I've got, you know, back when my kids were in the house, you know, something to a field trip to, you know, that I volunteered for. And you're constantly kind of mentally going over this inventory of everything that you have to do. And I found myself several years ago, you know, I was noticing that more and more, where I would be in a conversation with someone and they could be sharing something that, you know, they needed a listening ear. They needed my support. And yet I couldn't help but be thinking, oh my goodness, you know, I've got so much to do. And God convicted my heart that, you know, when I have come to a place in my own life where I am on empty, you know, or reserve tank, if you will, and I don't have time for other people, I don't have time to be the actual hands and feet of Jesus, then it's time to go back and learn what it is to find this rest in my soul so that I'm serving from a full tank. And so that was, you know, one clue for me, is that constant sense of urgency. And then, of course, there was this problem of, I had a hard time saying no to things if people would ask me to do things. So, you know, some of that in the book, I talk about learning to draw those boundaries, or prioritize things and take things off my plate. You know, one of the things that we did when my kids were all still in the home is my husband and I sat our kids down when we realized that the pace was just too much. And we told our kids, you know, you can each be involved in one thing per semester and quit everything else. We can't do this anymore. And I wished I had done that sooner. I really do, because, and I don't know how it is there where you got, maybe y'all have this down better, but I can tell you it's crazy, especially in places like Texas where you've got competitive sports now, and, you know, parents are just in their car all the time running your kids from one thing to another, or the academic pressures are intense and loads of homework and all of that. So, you know, you have to look at what you can take off your plate and make some hard decisions. But, you know, I know that those were just a few of the warning flags in my own life that I was in a season of burnout.
What's your take on why we are so driven that way with our kids?
Sure. I think, you know, in all fairness, we want to give our children more than what we had. And, you know, I grew up in a time when you didn't have the choice to play competitive sports on the weekends. You know, no one would dare to schedule games on a Sunday or even a Wednesday night, because some people went to church on Wednesday night. You know, and there wasn't as much to choose from to distract us. I mean, I look at all of the things that are out there, and so many of those things are distractions. And, you know, so I think I'm speaking for myself. I'm stepping on my own toes when I was raising my kids. You know, I somehow equated being a good parent with offering your kids as many things as you possibly could to find out what is it that they're good at. Well, in a sense, in doing so, we rob them of the ability to be still themselves and to learn what solitude is. And, you know, and I share in the book, you know, that boredom is not a bad thing. And yet we've somehow grown as a culture to equate that with laziness. But we want to feel, you know, their every moment. And it's, you know, the book itself is not necessarily a parenting book, but I think for a lot of us who are busy, the kids and parenting, that parenting role plays a huge factor in never quite feeling like we come up for air just from time to time and catch our breath.
needed words of wisdom, Vicki. It's resounding in my heart. Suzanne is there with a nodding going on in her heart, even as she hears.
If I could just jump in real quick, I have a thought as a school teacher. One of the things I think parents don't truly understand is their children's desire to just have time with them, with the parents, and not be in all these different activities. And so I really appreciate what you've just shared, Vicki. I think it's very valuable.
Well, I love that wisdom, Suzanne, because you're absolutely right. I think, again, we're just trying to be what the culture tells us is a good parent. But at the end of the day, you know, if we don't model to our children what stillness looks like and solitude and this idea of rest in our souls, we can't expect the culture to come along and teach them because it's sweeping them right downstream with them, you know, and all the choices they have to make and the distractions on their phones and everything else. They're going to have to decide for themselves that this is something they want, that we need to model how desperately they need it, and that this is really part of what God's Word tells us is good for our souls.
A timely word and much needed. Vicki Courtney, thank you for being with us today and sharing your heart as you have.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Encouragement from Vicki Courtney. Find out more at VickiCourtney.com. My friend, you know, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. We believe that. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. Jeremiah 6:16, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Vicki Courtney. Find out more at VickiCourtney.com. Until next time, along with my co-host Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave